So where are we? Who are you, and why are we here?
We are in Building 41, the home of Visual Studio. My name is Scott Nonnenberger, program manager on the C# team, and I am here to talk a little bit about debugging and how to deal with data. We have a lot of great features in Visual Studio 2005, which allow you to customize the way data looks when you're debugging through your code. And when you experience the debugging in Visual Studio 2003, you'll see a lot of changes. A lot of them are visual. A lot of them are graphical. We have icons. We have improvements to all the data display windows, and we also have ways for you to customize that experience yourself.
So, did you mean 2005? You said 2003.
2005 is significantly improved. That's
yeah,
what I meant.
Yeah, would be code name would be.
Yes.
So, what's your background? What did you work on with Visual Studio 2005?
In 2005, I was one of the two program managers on the Visual Studio debugger team, and now I'm a little bit more abstract from that, and I work more on release duties on C#, so kind of shipping the product and making sure that bugs get fixed and we progress towards our goals.
So you work on the C# team, but you work on the debugger?
The C# team is made up of three major components. The first is the compiler, the second is the IDE experience, which is IntelliSense and that kind of thing, right. And then the third is the debugger. So it is part of the C# team, but it's not technically just C#. It's actually
right.
Across all languages and technologies.
And so we're here to talk specifically about this thing new called visualizers.
Visualizers are a great new feature in 2005, and they're part of kind of a suite of customizations you can make to your program, which allow you to really visualize the data a lot better.
So what's your background? What were you working on like before you were working on the VS C# team and the debugger stuff?
Before the C# team, I actually was a student, and I came from a school in California called Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, and I was a computer science student there, so came straight here.
Yeah, and it's been going well? Having
fun? I think so. I've been enjoying it.
So how do you describe what you're working on now? What can you say about it?
What I can say now is that it's kind of project management. It's a little bit further from the technology, but it's still very important because we need to move towards certain milestones and goals that we
is
have.
Is it related to the C# team or all of Visual Studio?
It's related to the C# team. For C#, and it's not just debugger like it was before.
So if you bumped into someone in the elevator and they said, "Oh, you worked on visualizers," but they weren't sure what they were, what would you say? Get off the elevator.
For visualizers specifically, I would say they are a way to view your data in the way it was meant to be viewed, beyond the tree-based hierarchical view that you've seen in Visual Studio before.
During debugging, not necessarily in an app with a grid. You're talking about?
I mean, while debugging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because in the past, debugging has been about the tree views.
You look at the quick watch,
you look at views like that, and data is always displayed in a hierarchical view. So it's all about the way data is supposed to be displayed.
So what inspired visualizers? Was it a customer request? Was it something like a whole bunch of things, and somebody said, we need to like take a new approach to this?
It was kind of a high-level goal to allow people to really see their data the way they would want it to be seen. There's a lot of code in applications to show data the way humans understand it, right? And in many cases, while debugging, that logic isn't really invoked, and there's no way to invoke it easily because it's in the application. It's not part of the debugger, right? So visualizers actually like to take that logic that's in your application, which takes raw data and converts it into human readable, human understandable format. And for example, an image is a perfect example for this kind of thing. An image, it's ones and zeros in the debugger until you apply the right logic to get it into your video card.
Would you say that the visualizers are kind of an add-on to the debugger, even though it's somewhat integrated?
I would say that. Debugging is a pretty low-level activity at its most basic. There are a lot of services we add on to it, like the ability to look at your source, like the ability to edit continue, for example. That's a pretty advanced bit of functionality we've added on top of the basic debugging. And I would say visualizers are another aspect of that.
So do you have some cool demos?
I do. Let's talk in general about how to customize the display of data in the debugger. It's more than just visualizers. So let's take a look at kind of the start of data customization in Visual Studio. So what we have here is kind of a basic application, very basic, in fact, with a set of
basic
classes.
Basic application in C#.
A basic application in C#, yes.
Not to be confusing.
and it's not visual either.
Right. Okay.
It's really not visual. It's a console application.
Wrong code.
So, I'm just going to press F5, and we can... I gotta modify this application a little bit so that the startup directory is blank.
Good to do some debugging of your demo at the beginning.
There are bugs in all sorts of things. Right. It's not just code.
And
certainly.
You haven't done this demo in a while.
That is true, since I've moved on to something a little different these days. And it looks like we have a file not found exception as well. This is actually a new feature in the Visual Studio 2005
cool.
debugger called the Exception Helper, and it gives you a little bit more information than you've seen in the past for exceptions. And this is one of your classics. It doesn't know where the file actually is. We're trying to load an image there. So you know what I'm actually going to do? I am going to just do some edit and continue to solve that problem.
Makes a good demo, actually.
Let's take that down to null, and we should be able to... Okay, so we just did some edit continue, and now we're getting back to the demo.
That was not planned.
Another file not found exception because of that initial location. It's not finding the files it's trying to at the moment. So I'm just going to go, this is some text. And edit and continue saves the day. It's looking for a file. Let's just comment that out. Okay, so let's just get to the basic of what we're looking for. We're looking to see... what is in this address class. And this is a new feature actually in Visual Studio 2005 called Data Tips. And you can actually hover over the object itself and see what's in it. Before, Data Tips were just top level and they didn't give you much information within the class itself. You had to go to the watch window. So this makes it quick and easy for you to see the elements within the class at a glance without having to worry about what's in your watch window. But what we're seeing here is actually some duplication of data. There's address line 1, line 2, but we're really not seeing the data at the top level. It's duplication of data, but not quite exactly what we need to see. So what I'm going to do actually is going to stop debugging. We're going to fix that problem so we load the files. But what I'm going to do is customize the address type. So I'm going to go to definition. And this is the first of the customizations we can do to show you what you need to see in the debugger at a glance while using data tips, for example. So I'm going to override toString and I'm going to just assemble a quick little string here. So let's do m address line 1, and we'll just leave it at that because that's enough information for me to show you. I just want to make this demo pretty quick. I will press F5 again, and we'll get the same errors we got before. But now when I hover over address, you can actually see the data that I wanted to display. The toString is actually shown. Which is much more useful than what you saw before, which was just address, which was actually just the data type. So that's the first level of customization. Let's move on to another level of customization. I'll stop again, and let's go back to address. Now let's say I wanted to see this in a different way. I wanted to actually use toString, for example, for something else. If I want to use toString for something else, then I can't really rely on it for this. So there's actually an attribute-based way to customize this. So I can add a using system.diagnostics. And then I can add an attribute. And I'm using the debugger display attribute here, which allows me to control what's shown at the top level for any kind of data display in the debugger. Whenever this data type is shown in Visual Studio in a data window, it will actually be controlled by this attribute. So I'm going to say address colon, and I'm actually going to use curly braces here, which tell me that I want to evaluate an expression. So I'm going to put m address line 1 in there, just like I did before, close out that attribute,
build.
Mm-hmm. Press F5.
And now, when I hover over address, I get address colon 1 Microsoft Way, which is a nice way to customize what you see in data tips and in the watch window, for example. You can actually see down here that we see the same data that we would in the data tips. So it's all over the place as far as data.
These attributes are like a debugger or IDE setting, not something that affects your app at runtime.
They do not affect anything at runtime. They only affect and are read by the debugger itself. So this is actually only the start of a set of attributes which allow you to customize the display of data. Why don't we actually move on to some more advanced attributes, one being the debugger visualizer attribute. And that's something that is a few steps beyond the debugger display attribute, which we were just looking at. So I'm going to set my starter project to be visualizers here. And I'll open up that program. Set a breakpoint at the end. And press F5. So what we'll be looking at is a built-in set of visualizers. And visualizers are something that you can customize yourself, much like those attributes we were just looking at. But there are also a few built-in. Let's take a look at some of those that are built-in.
Okay.
So we can hover over this string, this really long string, and you can see that it really isn't very legible on that data tip. You can see it extends off the screen and you can't see it all.
Yeah, is that pretty much how it would look in VS 2003?
Oh, in 2003 you'd see something like that, but there's one crucial difference, and that is this little drop-down.
Aha.
This is the icon that allows you to access visualizers. And for string, there are three registered, and these are three visualizers which are installed with the product by default. So let's open the text visualizer.
What was that checkbox? A default thing? Or like
the checkbox is actually what will be brought up by default if you check the magnifying, or if you select the magnifying glass instead of the individual visualizer.
So you don't hit the drop down. I get it. And you can change that, and it's persistent?
It actually persists the last one you used.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So this is a much better display of a string. And it actually matches the data type that we want it to. It's not in a tree. It's not a one-line bit of text like it's always been. So this is a string viewer.
It's like instead of copying something value to Notepad and editing it separately.
Yeah, that was the way people used to do things, and that's the way I've done it, certainly.
Yeah.
You can actually even hover over things in the watch window, and it'd be a little bit better, but it's still not very good. So these visualizers are
and again,
much
most of these visualizers allow you to edit and continue, not just view, right?
The ones that are built in, except for dataset. Dataset is one that's built in that allows you to edit, but these three do not allow you to
edit. They're just viewers.
They're just viewers. So we have an XML viewer as well.
Looks like it's hosting IE.
It is indeed hosting IE to show you the exact same view you'd see in IE, and that even includes the bar at the top.
Mm-hmm.
So XML, exactly what you usually see with XML when you view it in a separate file in IE. Moving further down, there's also an HTML viewer, which also hosts IE. So you can see the way HTML would look in IE once it's rendered. So that's a little bit better than just the string
view.
So
the web page we're seeing is actually the contents of the HTML rendered.
It's the HTML rendered. So you can actually go back and use the string visualizer, there we go, and see the actual HTML instead of it being rendered like that. Lastly, of the built-in visualizers is dataset. And this one shows you the actual grid of the data in the dataset. Far more valuable than having to drill down into the tree view in the watch window.
In this case, you can actually make a change.
You can make changes in this one. So your standard grid view, much better for datasets, in fact.
So there's more, right? Is there? Looks like
there is indeed a bit more. It seems like you know a little bit about what's going on here. But
you've seen some, but never packaged up.
There is a reason that I have a few more items here, but they're not built in with Visual Studio. We have a string path, and we have an image there. So let's take a look at how we can actually extend visualizers and the set of visualizers with attributes.
A good common question someone watching this would be, so what goes into deciding what makes it in the product versus what just gets relied on extensibility. Because maybe I recall the image one as something on the list to possibly go in the product, but then there's a lot of factors in terms of what goes in versus what we want just for extensibility.
Right. Well, it's always a question of how does something get into the product, right?
Testing and everything.
It's all about testing, and it's all about being confident in what we're shipping.
And working
we don't
for
feel
most of the scenarios.
if we feel like we can get it done along with all the other things that we want to get done in the amount of time that we have, then we'll ship it. If we think that we've made it easy enough to create these things, then we won't actually think of it as such a high priority. We do think that it's easy enough to create these visualizers that we don't necessarily have to create all of them ourselves.
Yeah, from working down the hall from you for a while, I get the feeling that you put extra effort into making them very easy to create your own, and not necessarily creating dozens of them out of the box, saying, hey, these are going to be so easy to create that the ones that are missing, the community create them, people create their own.
It's always an interesting question. When creating an extensibility framework, you always want to make sure that it's easy to make things based on this extensibility framework, but you always want to make sure that you have a few that's actually a few things you own which rely on it, right? Because you don't want to have a consumerless API, I think is what it comes down to. So we have the data set, and we have those other visualizers, and those kind of test it to make sure that it's where it needs to be. And then we ensure that it is easy to make other visualizers on top of it. And I think then we're in an okay state. I don't think anybody would complain about this.
No, the ones you included hit at least 80% of the common scenarios. And
String is a pretty commonly used one. Dataset is one that I wouldn't say is as common as string, but it's a crucial one, right? Because it was so
and
bad
XML
before.
XML is nice. Just to
XML is quite common. HTML is quite common, and they're kind of just they're relying on Internet Explorer. So they were just proof of concept, and Dataset is really exercising the API pretty heavily because it does have that saving back. But we do believe that because it's pretty easy to create these things, we have stopped in an all right place.
Right. So are you going to show something with this
all
image
right.
thing?
So let's take a look. When we hover over image, we don't see that magnifying glass, and that's because there are no visualizers installed for it.
That's what someone using DS2005 out of the box would see.
This is the out-of-the-box experience, certainly. Okay. So what we can actually do is stop debugging here and go to the aptly named Image Visualizer project. So I'll click on the Debugger Side class here. And what you're seeing is kind of the skeleton of what it would take to create a visualizer.
So you created this real quickly, it looks like.
Yes.
It's just a template you're just showing here.
Well, we have the attribute. As we saw on the previous attribute, it's part of system.diagnostics. And it starts with debugger. This one is debugger visualizer. And it specifies the class that is going to be used to show that type, also the target type, and the description that's going to be displayed in Visual Studio when your visualizer is shown in that list.
Got it.
Okay. The class debugger side is the class which Visual Studio will call show on with the proper parameters. And then in the show method, that's where you are to do all of your work to show that data appropriately. So we have this skeleton, and let's actually do the implementation really quickly here. Fortunately, I have an image form, which will allow me to show an image easily. So right now, I have inherited from Dialog Debugger Visualizer, and I have automatically generated using C# IDE features the stub for that particular, or the only real method in Dialog Debugger Visualizer, which is show. And it's passing some things in which give me the information I need to show that data as sent across from the debuggy itself. The program you're debugging sends its data into Visual Studio using the infrastructure we've provided as part of the API. So I get at that data sent over from the application we're debugging by typing object provider dot get object. Okay, now when it comes out of there, it's in object form, but it's been serialized out appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
So what I can actually do is, since I know at this point, and this is just quick and dirty, I'm just going to cast it to an image and
set it equal to an image. So now I have that sitting there ready to be used. I'm going to create my image form, which I set up earlier so I can show this easily. And then pass it that image that I got back from the object provider out of the target debugged application. And then I'm going to show the form. So that's pretty much all I needed to do in that little show method, which Visual Studio will call when that magnifying glass button is clicked.
So this is the raw program you need. It has not been wired up yet, but this is essentially the template with the code-specific event handler, essentially.
When you say wired up, the wiring up that's going to be done with this is actually going to be deposited into a directory.
Okay.
Visual Studio will load the assembly up, look for these assembly-level attributes, the debugger visualizer attributes, and then show them in the list of visualizers for a specific type when it encounters it in a data window in Visual Studio.
So you don't need a full-blown SDK, you don't need the VSIP partner program stuff, you don't need to be an expert at the whole API of VS.
You do not at all. Actually, the real key here is, if you just go back to the screen,
using Microsoft.visualstudio.debuggervisualizers. That's really the crux of it, and once you have added that reference to your project, you are pretty much ready to go. So that'll be in your add reference dialog, Microsoft.visualstudio.debuggervisualizers, and once you've added that reference, the proper base classes and such will be available to you, and you can be off and running.
I assume there are some samples up or instructions for some of this?
They're in MSDN library. There are some simple tutorials, much like what I'm showing here. They'll get you to where I've described. There are some visualizers out there today that people have written,
in fact.
There are a few really cool ones out there, actually. There's an ASP.NET cache visualizer. There is a really advanced dataset visualizer out there. There is an ASP.NET control visualizer that some people have written. And there's some basic ones that I've written and gotten out there, but the ones that I just listed are pretty cool and written by some people who are just doing it in their free time. You know, really simple, really easy, and they're not paying partners with Microsoft. They're just customers out there.
One that might be useful for someone to create is if they're working a lot in code with RSS, they can expand on the whole XML thing and actually have like some RSS viewer, whether it's a grid or a list or whatever they want. And all it is they say, hey, it's XML, but it's RSS, and here's my visualizer, and they display it however they want.
One of the things that people may want to think about with visualizers is any kind of display logic that you have in your application
already
for the data you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You may just want to extract that, refactor it out, and put it into a visualizer. Because as you're debugging through your app, you probably want to see the data as it's intended. And you have some great display logic already, so might as well just use that, especially for things like RSS. That's a perfect example, right?
So what do we do with this program
to
see it in action?
Now that we've built it, we can... So it is the image visualizer application, so I'm going to actually just use a little trick here.
What kind of project is this, by the way? It's just a regular C# program?
It's a C# project, but it's a class library.
Class.
So it's a DLL.
Because it's not... Yeah.
So I'm going to open the containing folder, get into the bin, and debug, and imagevisualizer.dll is right there. So I'm going to copy that. And there are two places where we can put this so that it is applied while debugging.
Okay.
One of them is global for all users on the machine, and it's where you've installed Visual Studio. Visual Studio, I'll show you right now.
And for a lot of developers, it's the same thing.
Most developers, it's the same thing. I have kind of a weird directory structure.
Yeah,
so pretend like I'm in program files now, and this is the Visual Studio directory.
Okay.
And common 7, packages, debugger, and then visualizers, and you can just drop your files here.
You
drop your DLL here.
That's all you do?
That's all you have to do. If you have the assembly level attribute, debugger visualizer in it, all you have to do is drop it here.
There's no XML file to edit.
Really simple, setting. Really easy.
That's interesting.
There's also one other place. I'll just open up another Explorer window. My Documents, Visual Studio 2005, and Visualizers.
Okay.
That's even easier.
Yeah.
And this one is actually per user. It applies to whoever's My Documents that you're
using. You can't go wrong by going here. It just means if someone else logs in your machine or an administrator, it's not going to show up.
Right. And it also means that if you're not an administrator, you'll be able to edit this, whereas you probably wouldn't be able to edit the other one. So I'm going to go back to my debug directory here, where Image Visualizer is, and I'm going to drag it in there. Now, when I go back here, I can press F5. When I hover over JPEG, you notice there's actually a magnifying glass. It was that simple and easy.
That's cool.
I just dragged it in. And when I hover over it, there it is. That's the image.
That's pretty neat.
Super
so now,
easy, super
anytime
simple.
You're debugging any type of application, even if you switched and created a VB or
C#
project,
it's not dependent on the application itself.
And you could have created that whole thing in VB rather than C# using the same attribute?
That's true. It is. I am on the C# team.
Oh, no, but I want people to be clear that it's not specific.
Yeah.
You can do all your demos in C#, but it's generic to VS 2005.
Absolutely.
Does this work in Express version or only standard? Or what has it?
You know what? I actually don't remember, but I think it does work in Express editions. I can't.
The debugger
tell
does,
you.
Right? Edit continue.
Yeah, certainly, it does.
Yeah, no, I
edit
think
continue
it does.
In Visual Studio, and I don't think we limited
Turn
it that way. So
yeah.
I think you'll have your same directory structure. You can go into the same locations, same install locations, drop those DLLs in, and it'll work for you. So image is a perfect example, and it's kind of flashy too.
Wow.
I have one other simple little visualizer just to show you some of the. Some of the things you can do. It's not just things like images, and it's not just things that are in the .NET framework. It's also things like my mystery visualizer, which actually all it does is it takes the object that you're visualizing, turns it into a string, and then it starts it as an argument to Notepad. Because
I see.
Maybe you want to see the contents of that file in Notepad. You're dealing with a path, right? So it's actually mostly for paths. So again,
it's like a Notepad visualizer?
It's a Notepad visualizer. So
at the top of this program, it's the same as the other one.
Yes, it is. So
yeah.
You can actually see the same attributes there. It uses some system
I.O.
that was not there before.
Create that template and you're all set. Yeah.
Yep. So I'm going to install this, much like I installed the other one, by using a great little trick here, open containing folder, and then I go into bin, debug, and I can grab my mystery visualizer. Actually, I'm going to copy Notepad visualizer. That's the most recent. Go back to where I dropped the other one, copy that one in, and I'm going to press F5 again. And now when I get my path, I got to press F10 to make sure it has something in it. And now, open this path and Notepad is there.
Now, is that going to show up for all types?
That will show up for all strings.
And how do you do the filter on what types this is enabled
that's
for?
That's part
is
of
that
the attribute itself. So the debugger visualizer attribute specifies the class to be used to do the visualization,
okay.
The target type, and then the description shown. So the open this path in Notepad is part of the
So
the
it's
attribute.
All encapsulated within that class you created. So it's like a filter within that attribute of
the
class.
Attribute does associations.
Yeah.
You mentioned wiring up. I would say that the attribute is the thing that actually does the wiring up. That and dropping the DLL in. So let's try that out. And there we go. We have the path pointed to by that string now opened in Notepad just by using a visualizer.
Somebody has their own editor, they create their own form,
exactly.
Or whatever.
So this just shows you, it's not necessarily even putting the logic in the visualizer itself.
I
you could actually
see.
Use
yes.
the visualizer to invoke it.
I see.
Yeah.
So you could have launched Paint and put that image in there.
I could have done that, certainly.
Interesting.
Of course, some of these things will require you to save the file out, like that Paint one, because
right.
we're not dealing with a path; we were dealing with the file itself. That's one of the great things about visualizers is you don't have to save it.
So
out
So, what
first.
Exactly is involved of doing an edit and continue on a value of a property? You said that the data set one allows
mm-hmm.
you to make changes,
right.
But of course, the XML one that brings up IE, you're not editing anything there.
Yeah.
What's the trick to get, like, if I brought up, not necessarily Notepad, but a VS form
mm-hmm.
with an edit box, and I
right.
threw it in there,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted someone, the developer, to be able to type in
yeah.
there, but then whatever, have a button say, you know, save,
mm-hmm.
and then you hit continued and debugging, and it gets sent there. Is
okay,
there a
so,
trick there?
Visualizers do have the ability to save back, and you're just generally asking about that capability,
yes.
I think. So I can talk a little bit about the dataset visualizer and what it allows you to do and how we implement
just
it.
Just to point a developer to that direction if
right.
they felt they wanted
There are
that.
APIs which allow you to take a little bit more control of the protocol between the debugger application and Visual Studio.
Okay.
Right. So actually let me pull up a little diagram that'll kind of help me illustrate what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Let's see here. Visualizer diagram.
By the way, is the source to any of the visualizers included? Or
I've done a few talks in the past
year two, and I have posted my demos for those. I've done some debugger talks just generally, and usually visualizers are part of that.
You,
so
you blogged about it, like
I have blogged
show
about
your
it.
Blog
if you look
later.
At my blog, yeah,
a lot of the answers are there.
You will find it there.
Yeah.
Okay, so this diagram kind of helps you understand how visualizers work. Okay? So on the left side we have the debugger.
Yeah.
And on the right side, we have the debuggy, and in the middle is kind of the process boundary. And when you're doing remote debugging, that actually ends up being the machine boundary between machines. So on the left side, the debugger itself, there is an abstract class that you derive from called Dialog Debugger Visualizer, and that has one method on it, which is show. And if you can see it under Dialog Debugger Visualizer, there is debugger side, which is the class that I was actually working on. And that has one method of show. And then below that is ImageForm. ImageForm is the class that was actually used to host the image and show it. So that collection of functionality on the left side, that's what's hosted in Visual Studio. Now on the right side is code that's actually run inside the debugged application, which is what we call the debuggy. And what you can actually do is override that class and take control of it. So when you take control of this class on the right here, you actually can then come up with a custom messaging scheme between these two right here. Between the one on the left and the one on the right, you can tell, say, for example, this on the left, whenever the user says, I want to change this cell in the dataset visualizer, I want you to go back and save it to the original dataset. So, and that's the kind of thing that is really necessary to do when you want to change
the original. You just have to understand
original.
It's a mini client and a server.
It really actually is. And the, one of the reasons for that is because there is that boundary between the processes, and then of course it works in remote debugging as well, which is kind of a nice benefit.
Right.
So to do modifications, either you have to do it wholesale, you can actually replace the entire original object, and when you do that there are some limitations, right? Because if the object is large, then you end up with some latency. So that's why you'd want to come up with your own custom messaging so that you only transfer that which you want to save, for example, and you have more finer grained control.
So how does the visualizer hooks extensibility deal with like overlapping of names or multiple types? I mean, you just can drop your own DLLs in there. You can have your own image type, but it just kind of appends to that list.
Yeah, that list, it will take everything that it finds in both of those directories that I showed, and it also includes the built-in visualizers, and it just assembles a list based on everything in there.
But the caption that uses in the drop-down list
is from the attribute.
And if you have two of the same, it's just going to show two of them, and you're.
That's true.
You may want to, if you got an add-in, you may change the name of one just to avoid that, even though it won't break your add-in.
If you all you get is a DLL, you could just go in there and do some surgery. It's recommended to try and come up with a pretty unique name for these things, right? So that's why I said Scott's Mystery Visualizer. That's probably not specific enough. You might want to have, like, the URL of your blog and then something. I'm not sure. But you're right. There is some possibility if there are a lot of people named Scott and they like to be mysterious, then
it's
you could have
likely,
some problems.
Though, if someone downloaded a visualizer, they'd get the code with it and then they could tweak it.
You know, it's not
likely.
Necessarily the case, but yeah, often. And I think I would encourage most people developing visualizers to allow others to stand on their shoulders because these things are pretty cool and they're useful to a lot of people.
So is there a place that people can go look at to download from FreeOne that's community created, whether it's .net or you just have to do a search?
The only location that I know of at the moment would be my visualizers category on my blog. There's no single place to look, and I think you can find them on Code Project and .net. You
search.
Can find them there. I don't know if there are any on .net, but I'm pretty sure there's one on Code Project, and there are a few just on random blogs, and I link to a few of those.
Let's look at your blog.
Okay.
So my blog is blogs.msdn.com/scottno, and I am looking at the visualizer category on my blog. The most recent one I posted on there would be that Notepad visualizer,
I see.
And that's what I call the mystery visualizer. And actually, this is a presentation I did for TechEd 2005, which includes most of the demos that I showed today. So if you download that package, the complete package with the PowerPoint and the zip, including all the demos, then you'll have them right there.
Now, is there a white paper on MSDN or something?
I wouldn't call it a white paper, but we certainly have documentation telling you how to create visualizers up
there. You can do a search. You just go to msdn.com, search visualizers, and come up with some.
You will come up with some stuff, and I think at least one of those articles was adapted from one of my blog entries.
Got it.
Yeah, and you know what? You can always email me about visualizers. Yeah. I can definitely answer those. So scottno@microsoft.com.
It's a very cool set of demos. I look forward to seeing what people do with this stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's already some really cool stuff out there, and I imagine that it will only increase.
Well, when people see this video and see how easy it is, they can easily just hit...
It's really easy.
Pause on the video and go create one and go, wow, I
could
do this.
Yeah, actually, you could download my package of demos and copy out the skeleton and have a project template ready to go, right? And just go for it. In fact, actually, while we're on the subject of project templates, let's go back to Visual Studio real quick.
Say I have a project. I can actually go to Add, New Item, and add a Debugger Visualizer. And that actually gives me most of that skeleton.
What was that you clicked? Because it was a little fast.
All right, let's go back to Solution Explorer.
Yeah.
Right click. Add.
Right.
New Item.
But it's over here.
And then go down to Debugger Visualizer.
Uh-huh. And that's something that they'll see. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll just cancel out.
There is a template there.
There is a template, and it has most of the skeleton that I was showing earlier.
The one you showed originally, you typed out.
Yes, I did type out.
You knew the code.
Yeah, it doesn't have as many comments in it, because... I'm bad about commenting, I guess.
Yeah.
The bottom here is actually an interesting little bit of code that you'll want to pay attention to if you're writing your own, because it's kind of a test harness for visualizers. We provided a class called Visualizer Development Host, which loads up your visualizer much like it would be loaded up in Visual Studio.
Oh, kind of a way to run it without debugging,
exactly.
In a sense, so you can see it and say, like,
everybody
if you're building
needs to test. Yeah, you can actually even debug through it without running two instances of Visual Studio.
Got it. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, that's some really cool demo, Scott.
Yeah, I'm glad I could provide it.
All right.
Remember, you can always email me if you have any questions.
Great. Look forward to it. Talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye.